You're listening to Fakeologist Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to audiochat.fakeologist.com. This is a new and exciting way to communicate with fellow fakeologists around the globe. Each day we compress and post the day's audio into a file that can be big or small. Discover new voices and ideas that talk about media fakery like you never did before. To listen to the live stream, go to s3.fakeologist.com. Now, on with the audio chat.
Okay, guys, Wednesday, May 6th, 2020. This is Alvarado, the fakeologist, speaking. Pleasant evening here on the north shores of Lake Ontario, a whopping 11 degrees, and I am joined.
Fahrenheit?
No, that's Celsius.
Okay,
only
thank
America
God.
Refuses to submit to the metric system, which I don't blame them for.
Why would you not blame us for that? It's genuinely a perfect example of our enforced ignorance. Or prideful ignorance.
Well, we should get into a whole thing on why does the Fahrenheit system say that freezing is 32 degrees and liquid is 33? That's interesting.
I've never heard anybody say, wait, because if it reaches freezing, it's no longer a liquid, it's a solid.
That's right. It's free. It's a solid at 32, but it's liquid at 33.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Why? See, the metric system just makes it zero, which makes a lot more sense.
Well, then at one degree, it's not solid. I mean...
Oh, there you go.
If you like this audio and want to support the site in a small or big way, please hit the PayPal donate button on the side of the Fakeologist.com webpage. You can show your support for as little as $1.19 a month by subscription or one-time donation. Thank you for your support. In my dreams,
I have a plan. All right, so that's the Fahrenheit discussion out of the way. But I have to think about why. Well, Sal, I'm sorry, we also have 234 here. 234, hello.
Hello, hello, fellas. I think Abs... Maybe key point there was the 33 degrees, perhaps.
That's
might
right.
Be some significance to that.
Oh, the numerology, I see.
Well, 33 is used everywhere. 33 has been overused in the coronavirus, so 33 deaths in this state, that state, every state, this city, that city. It's endless. And
yeah.
It's sort of gone. I've sort of stopped looking at the numbers. I think most people are numerically fatigued at this point.
Yeah, it goes beyond 33 as well to 666 and 37 and all these different ones, but go OFL, it's my bad.
I've just made a point to try not to even get involved in it, because it seems like you guys just get lost once you adopt the numerology mind and just like, oh no, oh no.
Well, there's no denying that 11s, 22s, 33s have been used since the beginning of fakeologist time. They are significant numbers. I will not liquidate and deconstruct numbers ad infinitum like some websites. But let's suffice it to say 33 is definitely hoax code. There's no doubt about it. It's, I call it Mason Feedy, which is a contraction of the word Mason and graffiti. Mason Feedy.
It's basically like you're saying Mason Seating.
Mason Feedy. Fitty. Mason Fitty. Graffiti.
Oh, I got you. Just Mason Seating works, too.
They're tagging their work. That's it. There's nothing more to it. I know there's some historical reasons, you know, that give 33 vertebrae. There's some anatomical reasons why they probably picked 33. It's magic in many ways in that sense.
What about when you look at, like, episode, season 3, episode 11 of all these different shows, and they're all about...
True.
You know, apocalyptic, you know, virus-related storylines with vaccines, and I mean,
yeah,
that's is that.
I think IPS said episode 3 or season 3, episode 11 of Colony had something in it, and there's a guy called Louis the something or other on YouTube. He does amazing superimposing of the numbers that he finds in movies. He does a really good job. He must have a really good studio editor.
Yeah,
look him up.
John LeBlanc has done some good work connecting some of these science fiction shows to the Metascript, tying it back into biblical passages and just kind of crafting this larger story that seems to be unfolding. It's
just
definitely fascinating.
Outer Limits, I think. That was really good.
Yeah.
Okay. Those are all links. Somebody should dump them in the show notes.
John LeBlanc, Outer Limits, 75 TV show. It's, look it up, nerds.
Quiet yourself. And a technical note here, Ophalus got a new mic, which should be...
I should have changed my name. I should have just become a new person.
Yeah, well, you sound like a totally different person. So, for clarity's sake, I probably have the worst mic now because I'm mobile, but that's fine. Other people, get yourself a decent mic.
I will say, listening to the replay from the last show, you sounded worse than you came across live. So, but you sound perfect now.
It was worse than any of the other audio chats I've been in. Did you do any post-processing to it?
I never do it.
Yeah.
I have everyone mixed in the one track. I can't separate. If I take the Craig bot, by the way, we should have backed it up with the Craig bot here, but it takes forever to import into Audacity. Audacity is not a great program. It starts choking on the files, and you can be there for hours waiting for it to do anything. It's very annoying. So, I just mix it into one track, and if there's someone low, there's not much I can do about it.
It just sounded extra worse compared to the previous ones I'd been on, but it's fine. I was running a shitty mic anyway, so I was able to talk to the people that were live, so that's all that matters.
Yeah, so as we enter, was it week 8? Or week 9 of the week 8 of the coronavirus hoax, I noticed that there's a movie in the works called Plandemic.
Yeah.
And it looks like truthers everywhere are propagating the trailer, even though it's a 25-minute trailer.
It's part one. It's not really a trailer. It's just the first part of it.
Okay.
Is it a documentary, or what is it?
Yeah, it's essentially a documentary. The first 25 minutes are an interview with, I'll tell you real quick.
Judith somebody.
Mikovits. Oh, it's been removed from YouTube now. She had an interview she did a couple weeks ago on YouTube about file fraud that she realizes. Well, did an interview of almost 2 hours about her research on HIV and how she wouldn't participate in fraud and got discredited and threatened with 5 years of jail, etc., and it's now been removed from YouTube, but I downloaded that. Like, I download everything nowadays. But the Plandemic, the first 25 minutes is just an interview with her that goes over that and a bunch of other stuff. And it's good.
The problem is, the producer of Plandemic has a very creepy, scripted BS timeline story.
You're really hard to hear right now. It's really windy.
Sorry. Windy, yeah.
Yeah, run that by us again. That didn't come through.
Yeah, the producer of the Plandemic movie, Mickey Tricky, or whatever his name is.
He looks like a sleazeball. That's just me being prejudiced.
Yeah, well, sleazeball, he has a 9/11 story that is so ridiculous, which tells me, unfortunately, he is not a truth teller, so... This whole Plandemic thing, to me, I will label controlled opposition until proven otherwise. But if you can find that video that I linked to ecologist.com/blog, listen to his 9/11 story and prepare to be basically amused and then appalled.
Have you identified anything in their counter-narrative that screams red flag yet? Are they basically just avoiding the whole... terrain theory, I'm sure.
They're just avoiding terrain theory. She's still for immunology and vaccines, but she's adamantly saying the vaccines they're offering are toxic. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
That's where I was a couple weeks ago before I did my Bechamp research, before I believed in terrain theory. But operating on the paradigm we're in, just saying the vaccines you're being given are trash and toxic, the best anyone can do, I think. Otherwise, you get just discredited and silenced and nobody listens to you.
I agree 100%. And I also listened and I posted on FakeTube, which is my own video hosting by a WordPress. They're not quite as censorful yet.
FakeTube?
And FakeTube, I call it.
Is that like a BitChute? Yeah, I see it. Official adult site.
That's a name for YouTube.
Well, that's what I call my video upload section.
Oh, got it.
All right, so I'm on this porn site by accident.
You fell for it.
It's for dildos only.
I just got a lot of that in my head. Thanks, Sab.
But Robert Kennedy Jr. is going on as opposition to Bill Gates, Anthony Fauci, and vaccinations as a whole. And you'd think he was against vaccinations, but somebody actually asked him directly, are you pro or anti-vax? Because after 2 hours of listening to him go on against most vaccinations, clearly he wasn't being 100% clear. So someone asked him in a video that Simon replied to and posted in a comment on my site, and he basically said, no, I'm pro-vaccine. So
I think there's some nuance here. I haven't seen bioterrain theory address immune therapy yet. I agree, like our yearly flu shots and the vaccinations we regularly receive are toxic bullshit, but there are certain things like parvo and dogs that you can get vaccinated for. It's not a virus, it's a bacterium, and there seems to be some merit to the antibody development from an inert interaction, but I haven't developed that argument yet.
Okay. Well, as long as we're talking about something we can see, and that's bacteria, yeah, maybe there's something happening there that you can introduce.
Yeah, because there's vaccines aren't just viruses. Vaccines are just immunotherapy for any disease that has a reaction.
I suppose but if you listen to some of the audio about, maybe it was the Master Fake Theater, and I guess it was Platon, but basically everyone's body has different microzyma that work differently. So you could never develop any kind of universal vaccine because everyone reacts differently. Everyone's terrain is slightly different. So it would be impossible to develop a customized vaccine, although I'm sure they're probably going to say they're going to make one.
Well, the principle of a vaccine is introducing an inert form of something that would be dangerous to you down the line. So your body gets to interact with it and develop antibodies from a less virulent, I shouldn't use that word, that's a bullshit word, from an inactive version of a bacterium. So your body can recognize it, make antibodies, so when it meets the active version of it, it's already prepared. It doesn't have to go through the whole recognition hours of being in a losing battle before it turns the tides.
Yes, but just the whole manufacturing of said inert substance in foreign substances with all the toxins associated to keep it going is completely different from what your body would experience had it been introduced somehow naturally into the body. So there's just too many problems with trying to simulate. But then again, it's assuming that a virus is introduced by your body from outside, and that's.
I mean, we've already agreed viruses aren't real, so.
Well, their description of microzyma, saying that they can be they can invade your body, but they don't come from outside. They're already there, so they are the garbage men. They are the repair center, the cleaning team that's already in your body, and they become activated.
In every blood cell of every living creature.
And this is the terrain theory. That's why people need to study the terrain theory and make their own decision. Because if you don't think you can catch a virus, then this whole PSYOP is neutralized. And everything we're talking about is centered around a lie. And that really is what you have to find the kryptonite of PSYOPs, the root. At 9/11, it was the vixen. if you take away all the victims, then what are we talking about? We're talking about a controlled demolition, and we never talk about controlled demolitions because they happen every time they want to rebuild something, building-wise. So you take away the root, and the whole tree falls.
I haven't been shown any evidence that there were no victims in 9/11. 234 said that was on me to prove there were victims, but when we talk about a building where people have been working in for years and the status quo is there's people in it every day, I feel like the question is more, why weren't there people in it that day? Or were they just all on the bottom floor because the top 60 floors are empty and they were able to evacuate?
Well, my theory is that, and we don't have to prove anything, and we can't prove anything. We're only going with our best theories that make the most amount of sense. And I don't really want to get sidetracked on 9/11 because I want to play that video.
Okay.
But
I don't see it on the page. Which one is it?
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. Did you look up the Plandemic link? It might be further down. The Plandemic movie.
Yeah, I just forgot what thing I'm supposed to be playing, so I'm looking at it. It's on the next page.
There's a video, a YouTube video of Mickey, whatever his name is.
Mickey Willis. I see it.
Mickey Willis, yeah, Bruce's brother.
Okay, so :play.
Yeah, I'm going to use the Fred Bot, Patron Bot. Fred Patron Bot. Ready.
September 2001, I was in New York. I awoke to the news, and my friend that I was staying with, Doug, we went to the roof of his apartment building and watched the World Trade Center crumble. And both of us simultaneously looked at each other and said, we have to go down there right now. We were literally running against the current of people that were rushing out of the scene. We were running into the scene. Doug works in the media, so he had media badges that allowed us to get beyond barricades that were just being set up by local police. There was still no support system for these firefighters and these rescue workers. So it became a real necessity that we find food and water really fast. So we actually, with the support of a couple of NYPD police officers, we started looting all the nearby delis and supermarkets. And we had turkey meats, and we had the finest of New York delis meats and everything. After a while, it became clear that there was just one food that all the rescue workers wanted, and that was peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. And I later...
What? He's saying he broke through the barriers to steal deli meat? Is that what I just heard?
Yes, he was going to make... He was becoming an instant caterer because he was worried that they needed his help. So, yeah. He became an instant caterer. And he got his friend from the media, and of course the media is the message of the whole 9/11 event. The media, every witness, every actionable figure was a member of the media. So
yeah.
That's Honk Pill Hall of Fame right there.
That's part of
a joke. I said that's Honk Pill Hall of Fame right there. That's absurd.
Oh wait, it gets better.
Even
this
in
is
his
a long
voice
one.
Sounds like he's just telling a soap opera.
It gets better.
Realized that it was because it was comfort food. And it was the first area where they actually did the first roll call. Fire chief stood up on top of one of the crushed fire trucks. There were probably 400 names that he called off, and at least half of them were not present. As the reality set in with all of the firefighters around it, they were not present because they were not alive. They were in the building. They started to literally crumble like dominoes all around us. They fell to their knees, they sat on curbs, and these big, hardened men were just in tears. The earth movers came in to clear the way for all of the rescue vehicles, and Wall Street was lined with fine automobiles, so the only way to move them was to literally push them over with these earth movers. They just flipped the cars one at a time, all the way down the road, flipping cars out of the way. And I watched these material items go from being this beautiful car that I was drilling over to just being trash in seconds. We watched and we just stood there, you know, like 12 guys going, oh my God, how can they do that? But then it became really clear to me that it's like, that was so irrelevant to the task of finding people alive that all of the material world was just garbage at that point. It didn't matter. I had suited up, you know, rescue workers' uniform, basically, with the respirator and everything on. And this actually ended up becoming my pass to get into...
Yeah, I hate this. I hate this.
Where did he get the... He got a respirator. I'm surprised he didn't have a ventilator in his backpack as well when he found somebody.
He took it off a dead firefighter's body. What do you mean?
Is that what he said? I missed that part.
No, he didn't say that. I'm extrapolating.
Okay. Exactly. I mean, this story... We can listen to the rest because I posted the central funny lie in his little speech here as the title to this post, but because I want you to hear it, it's kind of very, I mean, this is very great creative writing. And what this tells me is that we don't have to watch any of his Plandemic movie because this is a confirmed utter bullshit.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Yo-Yo, here's Missung, and you'll be listening to Psychologist Radio at psychologist.com. What you tripping for?
It was Ali G
version. I wanted to hear a German-Swiss woman speak in Ebonics, and she did a great job.
I just went to the Plandemics page, and the part one has also been removed from YouTube. I watched it. It was just him interviewing her, and I don't have any reason not to trust her, frankly. And she just speaks freely.
Yeah,
where it goes after part one, I have nothing. I can't say anything. But part one was brilliant in my eyes.
Yeah, that's fine. I didn't watch the whole thing, but I'm sure she's been interviewed by other people saying about the same thing. I don't know.
Pretty much this year, she's been popping off.
He's been on tour.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, why... Yeah, okay, you can keep playing if you want. There's some more gravy, more great gems of bullshit in this story. This is the producer of Plandemic.
The ground zero, where it was nothing but qualified rescue workers, and here I was just a civilian with really no qualification to be there. So the first victim that was found was this little man in a suit, and he had been completely crushed and disfigured under a fire truck. And I stood there looking at him and imagining what his story must have been, that he likely hid under the thing that felt the most secure, like a fire truck. Do you know what I mean? He probably crawled under that fire truck as debris was falling, only to be crushed under that fire truck when an entire rig was crushed upon him. And so that was really the first sobering moment of, wow, okay, this is what we're here for, and this is what we're going to witness, and am I up for it? And, you know, I didn't really even have to think about it. It was just a yes. I finally went to take my first nap in 40 plus hours. I really don't know. It was kind of timeless there. And I found an apartment building that had been completely abandoned. And so I went into the lobby of this apartment building, and I found a couch, and I dusted it off, and I laid down on the couch with my face against the back of the couch, and I cuddled up, and I bundled up, and probably about a half hour into my sleepless nap, I could feel the little man, the first victim that we found, the little man in the suit, I could feel him kneeling behind me, and I could see it vividly. He was kneeling behind me, his disfigured face staring at the back of my head. I could feel his breath on the back of my neck, and I was pretty terrified. And I just laid there for I don't know how long it was, 5 or 10 minutes, just thinking, what is he doing? And I was still and quiet long enough for that voice, whatever you want to call it, my internal voice, that said to me very loud and clearly, this could be your Vietnam, or die.
No, can't.
That was getting deep, traumatic, holy crap.
Have you had enough of that guy? This is the producer of Plandemic. Do we need to watch his movie now? I don't think so.
Oh, his movie so far is way better than that. I want to play that song from the generic Vietnam War. Flips. The Chopper. I don't know what it's called. God damn it. I used to
song
play
for
it.
What?
The Chopper. It starts with a chopper noise.
Generic. Pink Floyd?
I don't know. I'm useless right now. I don't know. Terrible music.
Yeah, I mean, that's enough for me to not invest much time into this documentary, personally. I mean,
yeah.
Somebody that's blatantly selling out on that level, obviously they're involved in high-level psyops, so it'll be interesting to see what their angle is.
The shame is, now I have to question Mikovits, who I had no reason to question previously. I guess that's a perk.
Yeah, I'll listen to her. I'll go. I didn't want... I just noticed everyone is mirroring the video, which is suspicious.
It got removed from YouTube, so.
Right. Everyone's mirror? Because there's a lot of mirrors now.
I didn't look for mirrors. I just, the one on Plandemic and the video I had saved of her interview are both removed.
Well, the video is on their own website. Was the video hosted on their website or on YouTube? Because their website...
The one on their website was on YouTube and it's been removed.
Well, see, that shows a complete ignorance on their behalf. Why would you hold...
Or an intentional Barbra Streisand effect.
Absolutely. Exactly. Something is way more desirable when you can't have it. You can't have it marketing.
Speaking of YouTube censorship, I experienced some rather strange behavior. Wondering if anyone else has run into this. I was listening to... It was Face Like the Sun is the name of the YouTube. Of like Christian truthers, but they've been going, they have over 100,000 subscribers, so they're a decent audience, and they've been very much promoting the virus hoax talking points. And as soon as they started discussing recent protests, they started complaining about how their local tech, like whatever they were using, whatever computers they were using, and whatever their streaming equipment, they were saying that everything was getting slowed down. But on the replay, it was actually buffering for me. Anytime they started bringing up protests, for like the next 30 seconds, I couldn't play through the replay upload. So I don't know if that's just because their upload itself was like the file was damaged. Like I don't technically understand it well enough to conclude that YouTube is messing with actual streams and uploads. It was very conspicuous.
Anecdotally, yeah. Quite a few times the past couple of weeks. And live streams and voice chats and phone calls. It's very suspicious. But also, you know, that probably just happened all the time previously, and I just never thought twice about it.
Or the whole world is on YouTube and Discord, and instead of working, doing what they're supposed to be doing in a normal day, they're at home.
Yeah. See, this is the theory I forgot.
There's got to be tremendous stress on the home network.
No, because the first month there was no stress, and now we're about to come out, and the cable companies are going to have to justify charging us monthly caps. So I think they've been doing artificial slowness and buffering so that when we come out, they can reinstitute their caps that they removed for the quarantine. Because the first month it was flawless. This didn't exist the first month.
Okay, well, not everyone has caps. I don't have a cap. I don't think any. Most people I know, they just have unlimited internet. So, do you have a cap on your gigabyte line?
I don't, but a lot of people in America do. Like, if you go
on their mobile, on their mobile, you're saying?
No, on their city services. Like when I was in Tallahassee, it's one of the biggest fucked up things with the telecoms in America the past decade is. You know, besides taking money
to... But you have resellers, don't you? They have to allow resellers to use their infrastructure. I rarely use the telco service. I use the reseller.
No, there's just Comcast and Time Warner and CenturyLink.
Nobody's allowed to resell their service to the house?
No, they just take it to court and keep instigating new legislation, and they just punish anybody that tries to compete with them. It's
that's
vicious.
That's anti-American.
Oh, it's the most obvious monopoly in America, is the telecom industry, especially because
What about the phone lines going into the house, or the fiber lines? Aren't they allowed to be wholesaled out?
Most places just don't have fiber. That was one of the best parts of moving to Portland is I got fiber. But when I lived in Florida, there's no fiber. They have no reason. They have no competition. They were given millions of dollars to upgrade their entire infrastructure, and they just didn't. And they still charge a 99% profit to every consumer and then pretend they need to put caps in case of congestion.
Okay. All right. Well, that's enough tech talk.
Okay. I remember the Vietnam song. Are you ready for this? We're going to Vietnam.
The
19?
And it just left me kind of hanging like
that. Wait, that's the wrong one.
I didn't know what .. was, but I knew what this could be your Vietnam meant, having grown up, seen all.
I'm going to try that again. All right, we're going to Vietnam. Yeah, that's all.
That's like from Forrest Gump. You probably got that visual.
That's CCR. That's Fortunate Son. Great song by CCR.
Credence.
Yeah. John Fogerty.
That song has been programmed into my head along with Vietnam War.
Love that song.
That's actually exactly what I was thinking when you said Little Fellas. I couldn't bring the name to my mind too.
What's it about? It's about a rich guy that doesn't have to go to Vietnam.
Probably.
Yeah, but I do think they play that song in Forrest Gump when he does go to Vietnam, I believe, because I have a distinct like correlation between Vietnam and that song as well.
I'm sure they've done it in multiple movies. That's like a TV trope now.
Mm.
Well, that's how they make money. The artists make money selling it to TV show.
I played over my microphone in Battle Royale games when me and my friends are coming on a building people are in. I would play that song over my mic.
See, if anyone, you guys are younger, CCR, Credence Clearwater Revival,
yeah.
Absolute fantastic band, John Fogerty. He had a falling out with the band or the band manager, and he couldn't play any CCR songs for 20 or 30 years. He banned from his own music, which is, of course, the deal with the devil that all these guys end up signing at the beginning, because otherwise they don't get big. So, fantastic band. Look them up. You young people under 40 or 50, rediscover old music, because nothing comes close to the quality, in my opinion.
I seduced my last girlfriend by playing Dolly Parton on tape on my analog sound system. It's like, yeah, I love old music.
Would you play 9 to 5?
I don't know. It was the tape labeled Dolly Parton from my grandfather. I don't know what any of the songs were.
Well, CCR isn't exactly in the same category as Dolly Parton, but hey, old music's old music, I guess.
Anything before the 90s or 2010s, pretty much.
Oh, no. You're so young. Okay, that's fine. That's good. We also start somewhere, but go review psychedelic rock from the 60s and 70s. Drugs did a lot of things to inspire creativity.
I'm a big fan of old swing, classical, and bebop, and jazz. I liked electro swing a lot because it was like revitalizing swing from the 20s and 30s, but then it just became self-degenerate and disappointing, and everybody made fun of me.
Okay, I can't see why. No, that's why I love old music.
Not to be the wet blanket on the conversation, but I do agree with Ab that the further along music has quote-unquote progressed, the more kind of down the drain it's gotten and the more debased. And I guess the more their MK Ultra like techniques have been perfected, but I still think that those early songs and artists were clearly influenced by the counterculture.
Well, they also knew how to play instruments really well. As a band, together.
Right.
And
opposed to just singing.
Yeah, I don't know what MK Ultra has to do with it, really. They just could play. As a band, there's a lot less no electronics. The synthesizer, which was an electronic piano, was a big deal. That was a big invention for the late 70s, early 80s, so.
Well, you're familiar with, like, the Beatles being a controlled band, right? Like, that's not a new concept to you, I'm assuming.
Yeah, I every time I hear that two guys wrote 300 hits, I have a real problem with it, especially since the music is so diverse. So I prefer to put the Beatles with Mozart, with Shakespeare. Those were brand names where they brought the best writers and musicians, composers together under one solid brand. So,
I like that idea. No, I'm not saying that there isn't value in any of this, the music. Like, anytime you can tap into that human spirit.
I love the Beatles.
You're going to get value from that. I mean,
the Beatles are fantastic. I don't mind a little bit of Paul is dead conspiracy theory talk. I did a little discussion on that back in the day because the brand was too powerful for one person to drag it down. So one guy didn't want to play anymore or couldn't play or whatever, then they had to replace him because the brand was too powerful. Anything
right, but that's what they were beta testing, was the ability to influence populations through these idols and so forth, and to get them into trans states and to, it's just, it's more social programming, so we need to keep our guard up regarding that aspect of it.
Sure, yeah.
And if you look at modern music, it's just not even pretending to be music anymore, it's just straight up programming and creepy as hell. Like, Lady Gaga's occult performances.
There's nothing of value left. There's no virtue whatsoever. It's
degenerative. It's purely degenerative.
It needs me to understand. The only people that can relate to that are people that are so angry or, you know what I mean, or just so against everything, I guess. I don't know.
I mean, talking about the majority of society at this point.
Well, I don't want to say everything's all bad all the time. That's really super negative.
Just the culture. Not everything.
Well, everything changes, not always for the best, and of course, I don't think the where they want to take society is for the best, but it's not for me, it's for young people. This new society is never considered for people of the latter half of the generation. It's always for new people, young people. They'll grow up in it. They won't know any differently. Even if their parents or grandparents tell them about the old days, they won't be able to relate. So it's just a classic changing of society.
But it's weaponized.
So degenerate. Like, people can't even be male or female anymore due to modern social culture. Like, it's so extreme.
And the parental and the respect thy elders' influence of society has been
gone.
Slowly just weaned away to the point of
okay, boomer
non-existence. Yeah.
Is 234? How old are you?
I'm 38.
Oh, okay, you're older than Osalis. Osalis, you're in your low 30s, right?
I'm 28. I think my generation is the most fucked. I have a lot of faith in the upcoming one because they're desensitized. Because they grow up with all this shit, so they're more interested in getting away from computers than my generation, because my generation's still addicted. Kids nowadays saturated with it, and they're just like, leave me alone.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if that's true. Younger people are given an iPhone right in the delivery room.
Idiocracy just becomes more and more prescient and relevant. And when you see apps like TikTok taking off, it's like the attention span of the population is clearly just devolving slowly and slowly, you know?
Not just the attention span, the morality and the purpose and perspectives, just all of it, just so...
And that's clearly directed. I don't know. I have more compassion for the lemmings than I should.
Me too, man. It's funny, I actually had been arguing, for the past couple of years that our music and cultural agendas were demoralizing ourselves, and, I've never been a Christian man that was trying to be archaic. It's just no, this isn't good. Nobody wants anybody to be like this, but we're idolizing it, and why would anybody want to watch this? And my friends were always just it's just entertainment, man. I'm like, it's not. And now that I'm awakened, I'm oh, no, that's intentional. They're intentionally just ruining society. It all makes sense now.
All right, well, I'm just about at the end of my session here. But it was a good chat. Osalis, great mic, great quality. 234, you always sound clear as a bell. It's good to talk to you.
Likewise, Ed.
And enjoyed. And people, go to the blog, go to the forums. I'm going to try and put a link to forums, too, which is...
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
The Matrix is everywhere. It is all around us. You can see it when you look out your window or when you turn on your television. It is the world that has been pulled over your eyes to blind you from the truth.
Yeah, I'll update the links to forums too. If people could put any content that's worth saving on forums too instead of Discord, or at least copy it, that'd be great. So we can search it and remember it back in the day when all this happened. This is fantastic because we're actually within a PSYOP and we can document it in real time. We don't have to look back anymore. We're in it. We're soaking in it, Madge. We're deep down the
saturated,
Amazon.
Dripping yes, wet.
Let's document all these ne'er-do-wells and what they're doing. Future generations, so when they get their PSYOP in 20 years, as I'm sure Bill Gates and other people are working on right now, then they'll have maybe some history to review.
I hope they aren't looking that far ahead. I hope they're as stressed out as we are about this decade. I hope it's more difficult than it looks like.
That's all, folks.